Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian. On Sports Radio WEEI.
A pitch. That's hit off the mound towards short. Nice play. Bogarts to second for one. One bounce throw to first. Got him! Double play. Ball game. Red Sox back in the win column. They beat Baltimore 8-5.
All right, so things are getting a hell of a lot better, right? No question about it. It's been a pretty good couple of weeks here. It's time right now for us to talk to the Red Sox manager, Alex Cora. He's in Baltimore today. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance, by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox radio network. Alex, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Terrific. Oh, doing terrific. Good. No complaints. Nobody listens, so what the hell?
Is Christian there?
Yeah.
Of course I'm here.
Everybody's here.
I'm your lucky rabbit foot.
We made a deal. It was 7-1, and we didn't finish the home stand 7-1. It was 5-2, I think it was.
I can easily take a step back and allow you to hang out with your good friends Glenn and Lou if it's really important to you. I mean, I spent all night thinking of all these questions for you. Trust me.
You go to Mexico.
Right.
Hang out.
Yeah.
We decide, okay, if we win the road trip, then you don't show up, and we did in Tampa.
Trust me.
We finished the homestand strong, you know. I mean, you're the one that you're actually putting us in a good spot.
Trust me, he won't miss us. He'll just go on vacation. He won't miss us. All right, let's do this. Let's start.
And the Puerto Rican rum.
There you go.
That got you really going.
$1,000 bottle. Did you drink that? No? You didn't drink that?
No, not yet. Not yet. August 29th.
All right, let's start.
October 29th.
There you go.
Let's start with this White House stuff, and then we'll get to real baseball. You guys originally did, and it made sense. You said, we're going to let the guys be independent thinkers, and the guys that want to go to the White House can go to the White House, and the guys that don't, they can pass on it. You made your personal decision based on your family and your friends and things that have gone on down in Puerto Rico. But the way it's playing out in the media here in the last couple days, they're breaking down into color lines. So you've got the black players over here, Latino players over on this side. You've got white players over on this side. And column after column written nationally, Jemele Hill, black and Hispanic players and coaches are expected to justify their reasons for not going to Trump's White House. But the real question is, why have so many of the white players on the Red Sox chosen not to support their black and brown teammates? Same thing from Adrian Walker in the Globe. So I ask you this, in making that decision, and again, it seemed to be a wise one. Did you not put some of these players in a compromising position where they're now going to be asked, the white players, why are you going? Why aren't you being supportive of Alex? Why aren't you be supportive of the other players on the team?
No, like I said, when I made my decision, regardless of my decision, people were going to ask questions anyway. So I understand why people are writing stuff about the team and they feel X and Y way, whatever. But I talked to some players. They understand my reasoning. I understand why they want to go. And I understand why some other guys don't want to go. And we just leave it at that. I think the organization has done an outstanding job giving us a chance to decide what we want to do. And I think Mitch Moreland, I think it was Mitch, huh? 2 days ago, 3 days ago, like he put it in perspective, kind of like, you know, what we're doing is something that people should take notice because they let us make a decision. You know, it's not that this is what we're going to do or this is what we're not going to do. And for the last year, I think it has worked that way with teams. You know, we're going. Everybody has to go or we're not going. Nobody's going. So I think we did it the right way. And tomorrow is going to be a great day, you know, for the organization. We're going to celebrate, you know, the championship last year, but I think we'll leave it at that. You know, I heard, you know, people are talking about what's going to happen in the clubhouse and it's going to be divided or whatever. But that's not the case. We're in a good place and you know, there's some guys that are going home tonight, and some guys are going back home tomorrow night, and that's the way we're going to do it.
So, Alex, I heard that you had got an influential, I don't know, a text from your mom. You know, it was pretty emotional, whatever. And I don't know if that was a deciding factor, but I am curious. I personally think you've known for some time. When did you know, and was that it, the, you know, just talking to your family about it?
No, I honestly talked to a lot of people, a lot, and people from back home, and to explain me how this whole thing is going. And like I said in the letter on the media thing, you know, like the government has helped, you know. But Lou, you were there last in the off season. Yeah. You were there, and there's certain places that they're in great shape, you know. San Juan, the tourist part of it, you know, the hotels and all that stuff. But when you go into the country, you go to the mountains, you know, there's this little town, actually. It's called Utuado. And right now, you know, most of them, they don't have electricity. You know, it's very hard to get to that place. You know, it's in the mountains. And you know, there's a lot of places like that back home. And for me, obviously, you know, just being around the island and knowing what is going on and how people are, you know, it doesn't feel right, you know. And I made sure, and I've been saying it all along, I said it last year, and I said it this year, the government has helped, but we still have long ways to go. And I put it in capital letters. This is our reality. You know, I'm the guy that has lived it. I'm the guy down there, you know, in the off season. I understand how it is, you know, and I just don't feel right going and celebrate while people are struggling back home.
Well, I'm not surprised you're not going, because I know, you know, what family and country means to you, but there are a lot of people, we've heard them, you know, that sit there. So I would ask you, do you put blame on the government in Puerto Rico, some of the corruption that we've heard about that I wasn't even aware of?
I think, you know, it's a combination, honestly. You know, we haven't been great in certain areas, but at the same time, you know, there's information out there that is not accurate, you know, as far as the money, you know. And I don't want to point fingers or drop names, whatever, but you know, the information that is flowing is not accurate. And, you know, we haven't been perfect. We know that. I lived it. But I said it in this platform here with you guys. And somebody asked me 2 days ago in a bigger platform back home. And I was honest with it. But honestly, it's something that there's a lot of stuff that is going on information-wise. We did this. We didn't do that. We get this money. We got that money. But at the end, honestly, it's not the money. It's not what you have done. It's the people back home that are struggling, you know. And then you go to El Sector La Mesa, the place that we went. That was our first thing that I did with the Red Sox when we took the plane. You go to that. You go up there to that small community, and they still struggling. We help them out. Imagine that, you know. And then they got help from the Red Sox, and imagine the other places. So but for me, you know, it was something that it just didn't feel right, you know. Going back to your previous question, you know, talking to my family, I think that was the end, you know, like, okay, you know, and we, you know, I decided not to go.
You know, so Alex, when we talked last week, I was actually surprised. I didn't think it was a good idea, just based on, you know, how it would look and the backlash. And you said you're going to have people being critical or commenting on it either way. But my concern was just how it would be perceived and how guys would have to act. Would any guys be shamed into not going? Have there been any internal discussions between members of the team, leaders of the team, like a David Price, maybe talking to somebody else like a, you know, JD Martinez, and trying to figure out, you know, if they could come to some sort of understanding or at all?
In my situation or others?
No,
others
I'm just talking about the locker room in general. Just how that's being handled. Has the locker room been divided? Are guys picking sides? Have there been debates?
No. One thing for sure, I'm very aware of, I have the pulse, you know, of what's going on in the clubhouse. And obviously, you know, you don't read everything, you don't hear everything, but you have an idea what's going on. And, you know, I talk to certain guys in the clubhouse, hey, you know, just to make sure we're all in the same page, you know, we decided that this is the way we're going to do it. You know, the organization gave us the chance to decide if we go, if we don't go, and I think we're doing the right thing. And, you know, nobody has to be ashamed, you know, or pressure not to go or to go. So I think, you know, everything is fine, to be honest with you. It's been, you know, something that Sometimes you think about it, obviously, because you're the leader in the clubhouse, and obviously you want everybody to be on the same page, and we have a job to do, you know, on a daily basis, is to win ball games, and sometimes stuff like that, it's not helpful for teams. But to be honest with you, it's been great. You know, it's business as usual. Like I said, tonight there's a group that is leaving, and others are staying, and tomorrow they go back, and then Friday we go to Fenway, and we're going to be together again, you know, and try to win a bowl game.
Well, it's all part of 2019. Everything has to be political. It certainly is in clubhouses, locker rooms in the NBA. It doesn't seem to be that way with baseball. And I asked Lou this question the other day, and Lou said he very rarely heard guys talking back and forth.
Never.
Politically. Never. He said never. Is that a fair assessment of what goes on there? That this has become political, but maybe you're not going to have an issue in your clubhouse, Alex, because the guys really aren't talking an awful lot about politics.
Yeah, I mean, I think people don't, in the clubhouses, they got, you know, games all over the place. They're not watching political news. Some people do. Some of them, they talk, you know. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, honestly. But it's not a topic, I think. I think you talk about sports and stuff that, you know, it doesn't have to do with politics or religion. That's the bottom line. And, you know, like I said before, I mean, this is something that we decided earlier in February that this is the way we're going to do it, or January. And I think it's going to be fine. You know, I'll go back to what I said. You know, people are going tomorrow and it's going to be a great day and they're going to celebrate it. And then we get back together on Friday and we go after it.
So last one for me on this subject. I'm just curious. I don't know. I don't even know if it was offered a conversation, a one-on-one with Donald Trump. Would you have taken it? Was it offered?
No. I think that's actually a big topic back home. You know, people are like, well, he should, you know, that was a good time for him to use the platform to talk to the guy. And man, we got a congresswoman that's her job. We got a governor that, you know, runs the country. That's his job. And, you know, I don't think tomorrow, like, I didn't see it that way. At one point, maybe, but I didn't see it that way. You know, tomorrow is a celebration of the Red Sox. It's not, you know, let's make a deal for Puerto Rico. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it works. You know, I got my platform. And like I said last week, you know, I'm the only Puerto Rican manager in the world, you know, in the big leagues. Oh, no, actually, we got three. Sorry, I forgot about Charlie. But this is my platform, obviously, and, you know, I've been letting everybody know how I feel about it, and, you know, this is the way I think I have to go about this, you know. So, but no, there was no, like, you're going to talk to him, all that stuff, you're going to have a platform now. That never came into consideration, and I don't think that was going to make a difference.
All right, so things have turned around here for your team. Starting pitchers come alive. I know you lost a couple bodies, and bats have woken up. I want to talk to you about the back three guys in that bullpen with Workman, Brazier, and Barnes. I think we talked a couple weeks ago. I was asking you how important that changeup for Brazier to counter lefties. And you see the numbers against lefties. Do you have to start changing the way you use Brazier, trying to find right-handed parts of this lineup as opposed to hitters?
Yeah, I was talking to Sandy and to Christian about it. It seems like the slider doesn't have the same bite as last year. Also, I think he's attacking guys a little bit different, you know, with the fastball. As you guys know, we like fastballs up in the zone and breaking balls down, and it seems like everything is the same plane. And, you know, yesterday that happened, but if you see it, you know, jam shot by Davis, jam shot by Mancini, and then the rollover by, who was it, Smith. But yeah, we need to do a better job, and there's a few things that, like you said, the changeup has to come into play, and there's other guys that are doing an outstanding job against lefties. Workman is doing that, yeah. Barnes is doing that, Brewer is doing that. So we'll see. You know, it's something that you know, the last week and a half, we've seen a pattern, but I think it's more about usage. You know, we can go to other places with his stuff and start getting people out.
All right, so Chavis, I feel like every week we talk about Chavis. I mean, this guy's got a 423 on-base percentage, 6 home runs, and 58 at-bats. I mean, he's just launching these suckers, too. So you got some guys that are going to be coming back, right? So Holt, Pedroia. I mean, is there going to be a time where you just maybe, you know, give him, you know, more chances maybe in the outfield, you know, to try and, especially with Jackie Bradley Jr. maybe struggling as much as he has been, just to keep his bat in the lineup?
No, we actually you know, we got first, we got second, we got third, we got the DH spot. You know, he's a good athlete. And, you know, like the other day I was telling Goody, Tom Goodwin, our first base coach, outfield coach, just to just stand him at left field, you know, and see the fly of the ball, you know, in batting practice. You know, he's never played the outfield, but, you know, just doing BP, just go out there and see it. Obviously, we play half of our games in a tough left field, you know, with the wall. So, but you know, it's something that you start thinking about it. You know, you got to start thinking ahead because, you know, as you know, we're gonna get healthy and we're gonna get some guys and we're gonna move people around. And you know, he's bad. You know, is that good? And it's not because of the results. I think it's more about the at bats. You see it, the way he controls the at bat. There was a big at bat in the Sunday game against Herrera. A minute, second, no outs, and you know, he didn't expand his own. He ends up walking, and that's what I like about him. Obviously, we like the home run and the threat, but I think he's a guy that controls it, and we're very happy with that. And, you know, going back to the question, you know, we will find ways. You know, we got to be creative, you know, and he's such a good athlete that maybe, you know, a few starts in the outfield might be in the, you know, in the future. But as of now, he's playing second base, you know, first base and third, and he's done an outstanding job.
Okay, so you've got to score more runs, and you've done a little bit of that in the last couple of days, but a couple of guys are not hitting at all in the lineup, and one of them happens to be Jackie Bradley Jr. I don't understand this. I just don't understand it. This guy will go on for a month, and he'll bat over 400, and through the first games here, you look it up, somebody posted this the other day. He's one of the worst hitters in the history of the Boston Red Sox. That entails like 125 years through this stretch. I don't get it. Do you get it? You had him lay down a bunt last night. Are you trying to see if you can work different ways of getting something out of him? I don't understand this. Do you?
Yeah, we have to. And yesterday was a perfect example. You know, first and second, get the guy over. Maybe it's a perfect bunt and his base is loaded. The way Christian is swinging the bat and obviously, you know, getting at-bats for the leadoff guy and for Benny and with Mookie, with men on, that's why we did it. We were in the same trail last year around this time. This is the time that last year we went to New York and we didn't play him for, six out of eight games, and we were working on a few things. He's been working on it. One thing this year that is different than last year, he was swinging and missing a lot in the same spot. It was a lot of fastballs up and in, and he kept missing. And this year, it seems like whenever he gets a pitch, he fouls it up, you know. And then after that, like yesterday, he expanded down in his zone, and he swung a miss. And we keep working. One thing that we need to do, like I've been saying all along, just be an athlete in the batter's box, you know. And he's done better as far as attacking pitches in the zone. You know, we call it swing decisions, and actually, when you get the information from the people that work with that, you know, his swing decisions are good in the zone, but he's not actually putting the ball in play, and he's fouling those off, and you know, it's frustrating for him too. You know, the way things are going, he worked so hard in the offseason, all of a sudden it's not working. But at the same time, as you guys know, tonight he might run into two pitches and hit out of the ballpark, and then there he goes. You know, we saw consistency in the second part of the season last year. We haven't seen it in this first part of it. But you know, the guy is such a game changer in center field that, you know, not playing him, you know, is tough because defensively he's one of the best, if not the best defender in center field. But as he knows, you know, offensively he needs to contribute, and we're working with him.
All right, last one for me. David Price seemed like it kind of came out of nowhere with the elbow. You guys finally, after tonight, have, 3 days off for the next 8 days? Seems like for the first time all year. Is it just as simple as maybe just missing one start, or where's the concern level?
No, he played catch yesterday, and he said he feels good. So, later on, we're actually hitting early today. So after this, I'll sit down with Brad and David, if he's in there, talk about what we're going to do in the upcoming days, what's the plan. But it seems like something, you know, he should be back sooner rather than later. It's nothing, you know, from my end, and it seems like David's too is not something that we have to be overly concerned. Obviously, we need him to be healthy. And, I mean, if we're in a part of the schedule, like you say, Lou, you know, Thursday off, Monday off, Thursday off. So yeah. We can take advantage of that. We can, you know, move guys into rotation, and we don't lose too much. So I think if something bad like this is going to happen, I mean, I don't feel it's that bad. is good timing where we're at in the schedule.
Time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week. This one comes from Ben Barker. Alex, if you were given the opportunity to start the season over from spring training right now, what would you change?
No, starting the West Coast.
But you had to.
There you go.
Very simple.
would you change anything with how you work the pitchers in camp, basically, I think?
No, not at all. I mean, it's the same plan we had last year. It worked, and it just didn't work early, but you see the results, you know. And in that particular thing, you know, like, let's wait 162 games to judge that one. But I think we did a good job, and we're going to be in a good spot.
You can submit your Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex during our weekly conversation during the season at weei.com/manager. If your question is chosen, you're entered to win a grand prize, the chance to have Cumberland Farms coffee with us and Alex Cora. It's all courtesy of Cumberland Farms. It'll be a big day for all of us, I'm sure. All right, have a good one, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Okay, guys, take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.